1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our scripture reading will be taken from verses 20 to 26. For those of you visiting today, we are in a study of 1 Corinthians and we're working straight through it. You've joined us in our 54th study and we come to this section of scripture. It's an interesting passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. You follow along as I read God's word. We read in verse 20, "But now there are many members but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word and to the study to follow later today. If you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before we begin our journey, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for the church and the people who care about it. We thank you for everyone who's here today. We pray that each person here will have a sense of meaning and value. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in each person's mind and heart. And for that, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Alan Johnson tells the story. Alan Johnson, who is a Bible teacher, who is a teacher at Wheaton, who ultimately came out of Dallas, tells the story one time that he went rafting for 10 days, a 90-mile trip down the Green River to Utah. And he did it in a six-man raft. They had a guide. He said when they originally got into the raft, they rotated positions in the raft until finally each person found the place that they were best suited. Johnson said when he first climbed in the raft, he figured that because he was a teacher that he would probably be best if he were the steersman. That is, he sat toward the back of the raft and he kind of looked ahead to where the rapids were and where various turns were on the Green River. He said he felt that that's where he thought he would do his best work, but he said another guy actually turned out to be a lot better at that than he did. He said he ended up being the power turn position on the front right of the raft. He said it turns out that he was able to handle that responsibility and that's where he fit in well. And he went on to say that when everyone was doing their job in that raft, they went right through the scariest of rapids without any problem. All were there in the raft, all were needed. When all were functioning, they functioned as a team, and the job was getting done right. We live in a scary world. We live in a harsh, hard world. And what's needed in the church, if we're going to go through these rapid times successfully, are people who all fit in and do their job and do it well. It may not be that your job is what you think it should be or what it ought to be. It's what God has given you to do. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different responsibilities. We have different abundances and different activities, but all are needed. And never is that point more clear than when you come to a text like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This was a problem in the Corinthian church. They couldn't seem to figure this out. The Corinthian church was a carnal church. It was a church that featured a lot of people who had big egos. Most of the people who went to this church were not spiritually minded, and most of the people who went to this church thought the more public and impressive a person was, the more important the person was in the church. In this context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there seem to have been two critical problems that existed among people who went to the church of Corinth. On the one hand, there were people who were less prominent. They tended to minimize themselves because they didn't have public noted types of ministries and responsibilities. They tended to put themselves down. They had low self-esteem and didn't think they were of much value to the church at all. Then you had at the other extreme, those who were more prominent, they tended to minimize others. They tended to think that their position was the only one that counted. They tended to put other people down. And Paul wanted the church to realize all people are important. All people in the church are necessary if a church is to move forward through rough waters. If a church is to be strong, if a church is to accomplish the goal that God has before it, everybody in the church is necessary. And that certainly is the point he's making when we come to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 20 to 26. The thesis of the text is not difficult to see. God wants his church to realize that every member is an important part of the body of Christ, no matter how public or how private his spiritual gift. That, in all reality, is what Paul's talking about. Every person needs to realize that he or she is important to the body of Jesus Christ, no matter how public or how private the spiritual gift may be. The church of God is one body comprised of many parts. And every part is important in the mind of God. Every part is needed in the church of God. Every part is unique. And every part is significant to the sovereign work of God. Now, it is very obvious when you go through these verses that God draws all kinds of people to himself. All kinds of people, various shapes, various backgrounds, various ages. He draws them to himself, and he puts them together, and he forms a body. And this body that he forms is not something that is natural, it is something that is supernatural. And every person that's part of the body is a necessary part of the body. And the church that understands that is a church that is moving in a direction of spirituality and blessing. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there are six critical realities that Paul brings out. Reality number one, there are many members, but only one body. Verse 20, here's what we read. But now there are many members, but one body. Now, Paul has stressed this point time and time again in this context. He said the same thing in verse 12, he said it again in verse 14, and now he says it again in verse 20. You cannot help but get the impression that the Corinthians were apparently very confused on this matter. And that's why Paul repeats this concept several times. Paul is obviously trying to drive home to the mind of the people of this church one key thought: one body, many parts. You need to understand that in church life. One body, many parts. This immediately tells us that two extremes are very unbiblical. Extreme number one is the person who is an isolationist. That person is unbiblical in his thinking. Now, an isolationist is the kind of person who thinks, I'm my own part in and of myself. I don't need anybody else. I don't need the church. I don't need to belong. I don't need to be involved. I don't need to go to services. I worship God my own way. That is totally foreign to the way Paul thought. There are those people who think, I can have my own relationship with God on my own. No, you can't. Not according to what the Scriptures teach. Spirituality is linked to the family of God. Spirituality is linked to family fellowship. And therefore, isolationism is certainly not something that's legitimate. The second extreme is that the person who is the uniformist is unbiblical in his thinking. Now, the uniformist is the person who thinks that all people should be the same. That also is foreign to the teaching of the Scriptures. Not everybody is the same. There are people who think that all people should look the same, speak the same, act the same. That is wrong. In fact, both of those ideologies are wrong, and they do not square with what the Word of God says or with true spirituality. When a church is spiritual, members are not isolationist. Members are not uniformist. They see themselves as a team, working together, striving together in the work of the Lord, fitting in to do their work for the glory of God. All people are needed. All are not the same. And when each person is doing his job, the church is strong. Inside your automobile is a simple-looking device. It's called an air filter. Now, it's not real impressive-looking. In fact, it kind of looks odd. It isn't visible. You can't see it. In fact, you house it with some covering. It doesn't weigh much, and it doesn't cost much. And when you look at an air filter, it doesn't look like it would even do much. But I want to tell you this, if that one part isn't doing its job, no vehicle will run right. And in fact, no vehicle eventually will run. In order for a car to run smoothly, every part of it must be doing its job, no matter how seemingly insignificant that job may be. If it isn't, there will be a lack of smooth operation. And so it is in the Church of God. Every single part is needed. Every single part is necessary. A person may not look impressive. A person may be behind the scenes doing a lot of behind scenes kinds of things. But if that person is not functioning in his or her capacity doing the responsibility that the church is weakened, it's not a smooth, powerful operation. We have one body and many parts to the body. Now that brings us to the second reality. The more noticeable member cannot say that he does not need the less noticeable member. Verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Now let me, before I talk about this verse, see an assumption that this verse makes. The assumption that this verse makes is that there will be a diversity of parts in the body. You'll have strong parts and weak parts. You'll have educated parts, uneducated parts. You'll have polished people. You'll have plain people, ordinary people. All of those people will make up the body, and all of them are very valuable. Now, as we've already seen, there is a tendency for the less noticeable part to say, they don't need me. I'm a nobody. I don't have anything to offer. I'm not wanted. I'm not important. There is also a tendency for the more noticeable member to say, I don't need them. Both of those attitudes are dead wrong. Now, the word need that shows up in verse 21 twice is a word that refers to some matter specifically connected to business, which is necessary for corporate life. It's an interesting Greek word. It's a business term necessary for corporate life. It describes something that's needed in an organization if the organization or business is to be a success. Now, let me see if I can illustrate the point. A number of years ago, when I worked for Kriegel Corporation, I started out in the shipping department. Eventually, as I got into my final year of school, I got to the point where I had a pretty good job. I mean, it was a pretty glamorous job. It was a sales manager. I would get to go and I'd fly to various major cities. I stayed in quality motels. I ate in fine restaurants, took people out to dinner at company expense. I had a nice salary. At this company was a student who had been hired, going to school, and his job, part-time, was to simply walk from office to office and take orders to the shipping department. That's his job. You go to the different offices, you get the orders, you take them to the shipping department. Now, his job was not a glamorous job like mine. He didn't get to do the things that I was getting to do. But I want to tell you, his job was one of the most important jobs to that company. Truth is, my job would have been a useless job if someone were taking orders to the shipping department. And although his job wasn't too glamorous, it was much needed in that corporation. For me to have said, we don't need that employee would have been very foolish, for in some respects, he was the backbone of the operation. Now, it's that way with spiritual gifts. There are those who are behind scenes, and they don't have the privilege of getting up front or being noticeable or perhaps having the glamorous type of responsibilities, but they're extremely important to the family of God and the work of God. And I hear about that when I have the privilege of visiting with people. You'll hear about someone who sent them a card, or someone who made them a meal and took them a meal, someone who called them on the phone just to encourage them, someone who prayed for them, someone who gave something to them, someone who helped them. That's the way it is to work. And none of those ministries are less important than any other. And that's the way we are to function. And if we function right, we must all do our job no matter what it is. You see, the body of Christ is kind of like a corporate business of the human body. The eye cannot say it doesn't need the hand. The hand cannot say it doesn't need the feet. In order for us to function properly, all parts are needed and all parts must be doing their job. A number of years ago, when we moved out west, we went through our first winter, and a man who actually taught me much about the Rocky Mountains and hunting elk in the Rocky Mountains called me up one Friday night, and he said, "Hey, let's take horses tomorrow and ride them up to the top of a mountain and look for deer." I said, "Okay." It was winter. It was snowing. It was our first winter. It was our first snow. I said, "You're on." So we took off in the morning. We went out to what was called Black Rock Canyon, just south of Pocatello, Idaho, and we saddled up those horses. Now, I didn't know a lot about going for a ride, and I figured, well, I'll throw on a couple pairs of socks and tennis shoes. It'll be pretty comfortable riding, and put on some warm clothes, and off we go. And that's just what I did. I put on two pairs of socks, nice warm socks, put on a pair of tennis shoes, and off we went. By the time we got to the top of that mountain, my feet were frozen. I wasn't enjoying anything. I didn't care if I saw any deer. When your feet are frozen, you don't care. Your only thought is, I got to get back to the place where I can thaw my feet out. You would think that non-functioning feet couldn't affect the way you think. You wouldn't think that just because your feet are a little cold that it would affect the way you feel, but it sure did. Because when you get into the dead of winter and you have your feet freeze and your blood isn't circulating properly, you'll be quick to testify the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. You'll clearly understand and quickly understand you need those body parts and you need them to function right. And if one isn't functioning right, you have problems. Which brings us to the third reality. The seemingly weaker members are needed members. Verse 22 says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We tend to showcase successful people. Oftentimes, those who are doing well in business, those who are winning awards, those who are earning promotions, those who perhaps have gained some wealth or notoriety, are appointed in positions of responsibility at church because in some cases they seem to be winners. But what about the less visible person? The person who doesn't have any of that. The person who demonstrated tremendous faithfulness when he or she was suffering. The person who stayed a difficult course when they lost a loved one but stayed true to the Lord. What about those that don't have much because they've given a lot of their wealth away or they showed restraint with their own material possessions because they want the work of God to go forward? Isn't it true that those are some of the people who should be showcased? I know of an instance in which there is a senior pastor that only does the funeral of an individual if it's someone important. If it doesn't meet the important status, somebody else on the staff can do it. Isn't there something wrong with that kind of thinking? Isn't it then that the stronger are saying to the weaker, we don't need you? When you come to verse 22, the word weaker describes something that appears to have no strength. Something that appears to be very weak, feeble, sick. In this context, there's a tendency, and there can be a tendency in the church, for the more noticeable member to view the less noticeable member in at least three ways. The more noticeable member can say, I view the less noticeable member as being weak. I view the less noticeable member as being less honorable. I view the less noticeable member as being unseemly. In Corinth, that was happening. In the Corinthian church, the more noticeable person really looked down on the less noticeable person. There were those with social status. They were looking down on those that didn't quite meet their social club. So in this context, Paul absolutely rejects and rebukes that kind of thinking. And what he says to the people in the church is, no matter how seemingly insignificant a person may appear to be, that person is significant to God. And that person is part of the body. And that person is one of the members. And that person is a needed member that belongs in the church. And some of these members had struggled with morality. We saw that in our previous study. Some of these members had had some real moral problems. Some of these members had struggled with idolatry. Some of them, we know from 1 Corinthians 6, had struggled with alcohol and covetousness. But they were all now in the church and they were still all needed. Go to a restaurant sometime and have them put forks and spoons and knives and cups and plates before you that are dirty. And you'll begin to realize how important a good dishwasher is to that restaurant. In fact, one time I walked out of a restaurant for that very reason. I looked at the dishes and they were dirty, so I got up and walked out. Now, a dishwasher in a restaurant doesn't appear to have a glamorous job. In fact, it appears to be a very dirty job. But without one doing that job, nobody in their right mind would step foot in that restaurant and eat a meal. See, different people are needed to do different jobs, and not all of them are glamorous. I've known of pastors, missionaries, educators, evangelists, board members, Sunday school teachers, workers, who all think everybody should think like they do. And everybody should do what they do. One time I heard a missionary basically say that if everybody didn't go to the mission field like he was, they weren't even right with God. According to Paul, that philosophy is wrong. Every person is important to God. Every person is needed in the program of God. From the missionary to the man who comes to church to listen and learn, they're all part of the body. And they're all members of the body. And in God's work, and in God's program, and in God's people, He's the one who's fitting the body together. All members are needed, no matter how seemingly insignificant, they're all important. The fourth reality is the less noticeable member needs more attention than the more noticeable member. Verse 23 says, "And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas our seemly members have no need of it." That word honor refers to something that's highly esteemed. The word seemly refers to something elegant and graceful. Now here's the point. What Paul is saying is that when a church is functioning in a right way, when a church is functioning in a spiritual way, it will highly esteem those members who aren't perhaps as elegant or as graceful as others. When a church is functioning right, it will devote more attention to the weak and the struggling and less attention to the strong and the successful. Now, we've been in the process of moving some items, and I've noticed that on occasion after moving, I have really worked up somewhat of a sweat. And I've also noticed in reading this text of Scripture that I seem to spend more time devoted to certain areas of my body where sweat is that aren't glamorous spots at all. One of them is the armpit. I'm not sure I even know what the armpit does. It's an unglamorous spot. We don't make a habit of showing people our armpits. We don't make a habit of going around and saying, "Hey, look at this for a beauty pageant." We don't do that. But I want to tell you, when I get in that shower, I devote more time to scrubbing that part of my anatomy than perhaps anywhere else. It's true. The less noticeable member needs more attention. And that's precisely what Paul is saying here. He's saying when a church is functioning as it ought to function, the less noticeable members will be getting more attention. The church will realize that the less noticeable member needs more attention than the more noticeable member because we work together. And when weak, struggling people are in the church, they're a necessary part of the church. They're necessary to the body of the church. They're needed members of the church. Which brings us to the fifth reality. Each member of the body has been sovereignly placed in the body of God. I want you to carefully notice the end of verse 24. "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body." The word composed, God has composed the body, which is only used here. And this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. Because this teaches us that God is the one who mixes together. God is the one who blends together, who compounds together the church. This language to me is remarkable because it gives us clear license to believe God takes full responsibility for every person who comes to Texas Corners Bible Church. God senses what this church needs. And then He sends different people to the church so that He can blend together His body. You look around at your brothers and sisters in this church and realize they're needed here just as much as anybody else is needed here. And they're part of this ministry here just as much as anybody else. And then think about this. It's God who put them here. God senses what the church needs and He's responsible for it. Now there are at least two critical facts we learn about this. Number one, how God composed His body. Verse 24, God gives more abundant honor to that member which lacked. God has designed the body in such a way that there will be a continual opportunity to minister to lacking parts. Here's what Paul is saying. God will put people in the church that you can minister to. He'll put the body together this way. He'll frame it this way. And the participle lack is present tense, indicating that God's going to continually do this. If we're a church that's focused right, we will continually spot people that God sends to the church, that He's blending into the church, who need ministry, and then we'll take our responsibilities to minister to people who need the ministry. When a church is operating right, that's the way it works. That's the spirituality of the heart of a church that is glorifying God. Now, one of the wonderful things that I've seen in this church is that kind of spirit. And it is a wonderful thing to see in this church. If you're visiting here today, you're in a good church. Because I've seen people, we don't even have to try to browbeat to do this. They literally rise up and do this when they spot or hear about somebody hurting. They just take it upon themselves to minister. They'll send a card, they'll place a phone call. I can't tell you the number of times when people have said, these people encouraged me so much by what they did, their generosity, their spirit, the way they ministered. I mean, we just, as John reported in the announcements this morning, there's a man here from the funeral director who said, I've been doing funerals in the Kalamazoo area for over 40 years. I've never seen a luncheon that was that nice. I've never seen it in over 40 years in this community. What does that say for the people of the fellowship? It says that these are people that care about people who have needs, including enough to make a meal, a dish. That's the way the body is supposed to work. And God says, I'm going to merge it together. There will be people that will come into the body and you'll have the chance to minister to those people. And when you're functioning in a God-honoring way, that's how the body works. The second fact we learn is why God designed the body this way, verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. God has blended seemingly inferior parts into His body for two reasons. First of all, the negative reason of no divisions. God wants His people to learn how to get along from all walks of life. So He blends people together. He mixes people up in His church so that they can learn to function in unity. God has intentionally brought a variety of people into the church so the church will learn how to function as a united group that has no division and no dissension. And boy, was the Corinthian church messed up on this point. God desires His family function as a corporate team. If we alienate ourselves from certain members of the body because they don't fit in, they just aren't quite the social level we want them to be, we are as carnal as the Corinthians. Because what we need to understand is every person God merges into the church is an important part of His family. He wants His church to learn to function with no division. He wants us to function as a people of strong unity. The second reason is because of the positive reason of united caring. Verse 25, that members may have the same care for one another. Now listen to this. God has blended together all kinds of people, all shapes, all sizes, all ages, all backgrounds, all sin types. He puts them together in the church so that the seemingly less honorable members, the church will learn how to care for all types of people, not just honorable, but less honorable members. In other words, God wants His people cared for. And when His church is functioning right, every person will be cared for equally. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks they come from. If they hurt, if they have a need, the church will be there. A number of years ago in our first ministry, I got called into a situation in a hospital in Valparaiso. The reason I got called into the situation is because a person was in the hospital and the minister would not visit them in the hospital because of their lack of offering. It's a true story. They were told that they really didn't give enough to the church and therefore they didn't have all the benefits and blessings of the church. What a disgrace to God. Who cares about that? The offering. Here was a person who needed help. This was a person in a hospital who needed spiritual counsel. This was a person who could go into eternity. And they're analyzing this person in light of what they had and what they gave. That's kind of what the Corinthian church was doing. And Paul said, knock it off. God will bring all kinds of people to the church. It's our job to learn about them, to get to know them, to find out what their likes are, their dislikes are, to take them to new depths as a family of believers in their spirituality. Carnality is in one way could be identified as partiality. And spirituality could be identified in one way as impartiality. We treat all members as important to the work of God. And the final reality that Paul brings out is the body that is spiritual is one that will hurt together and rejoice together. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. We affect each other. And we have an effect on each other. You may think, well, I don't make a difference. Yes, you do. You may think, if I don't go to the service, nobody cares. You affect all of us when you don't go to services. Because you see, there are at least two ways this works itself out. If one member suffers, all members suffer. So if you don't go to services, we all miss seeing you. When the word suffer is used here, it means to suffer in a way that's misfortunate. When the body is right, it cares when one of its members is having a hard time. I know of a case in which there was a man who, in another ministry, lost his job, and not one person from the church had contacted him to see if he needed anything. Not one person. What kind of church is that? What kind of religious club is that? See, that's the kind of thing that was happening at Corinth. And the second way is when one member is praised, all members rejoice. When you have a church that's functioning right, when you have a church that's functioning in the way God wants it to function, there's a deep concern for everybody. When one member is honored, all the other members rejoice at that honoring. There's no jealousy. There's no division. There's spiritual family, spirituality. People are excited because another member has been honored. That's a family, caring family. That's the way the family of God is supposed to work. You see, ladies and gentlemen, every believer is wanted and needed in this church. There are all kinds of jobs to do. Come and learn. Come and fellowship. Come and befriend someone. There are people who need you, need your ministry. There are ministries. There are usher ministries. There are youth ministries. There's people who need help. There's people who can encourage and show mercy and give and administrate. All of those things are needed. Every believer has been put in the family of God by God, and we need each other. We're not an island unto ourselves. We need to be involved with each other. You are all needed here to build this body. And if we're going to accomplish what Texas Corners Bible Church is supposed to accomplish, we need everybody to help us get there. And that's why today we're going to give you something to remind you of that. At the end of the service today, Mary will be out in the hall. We want to give each of you one of these pens. It's in the shape of a nail. I just noticed at our home, there's an old crushed up box. It had been walked on. It was in the mud and it was in the dirt. So I picked the box up and looked at it. It had been a box of nails. You think, what good was that box? Listen, without that box, the house doesn't go up. You need a box of nails to build the house. So we're going to give you one of these. And what this says on it is Texas Corners Bible Church building God's church. And you take this pen, and every time you look at it or see it, pray for the ministry. And then remember, you're an important part of this work. You're one of the nails that make this ministry become built to the level God wants it to be built. So you help us build God's church. No matter who you are, no matter what you've come from, no matter what your size or shape or background, no matter what your interests, you're needed here. You're wanted here. That's what Paul wanted to teach the Corinthians. May we pray. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that's how you get into the body. That's where it all starts. And you can get into that body by simply praying right where you sit, God, I'm a sinner, I admit it. Right now, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Our Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the people of God. We pray that you would allow Texas Corners Bible Church to become everything you want it to become, with all parts functioning at a high level. I pray that nobody would be left behind, but all parts would go forward for the glory of God. We thank you for each person here today, because we know each person is special to you and sent here to us. And may they experience ministry today. In Jesus' name, amen.